Well, if you're visiting or new, if you don't know, today is Mark's last day of leading worship. Now, that's the bad news. I hear it. Like, he has blessed me for years as our worship leader, personally, and I know he has blessed all of us. Here's the good news. Two things. Ty is going to step in and fill that, so I would ask that you would be praying for him. And Mark and Jean aren't going anywhere. Yes. So I'm looking forward to see how God continues to use Mark. I know he has been doing this, but you're an elder, you're a teacher, you're a leader, and so... I'm so glad you're going to be here. Also, if you're new or visiting today and you look at me and you think, I've watched this service online and Pastor Michael looks a lot different online. I'm not Pastor Michael. I'm Mark Barnes. I'm part of the preaching team, and it is an honor to step in and fill in for Michael today. I was 7 or 8 years old. And I vividly remember thinking, as we were coming up to a new year, will I be alive in the year 2000? I quick grabbed a piece of paper and a pencil, yes, because we didn't have calculators then. And I calculated, and I thought, oh, I've got a shot. I'll be a very old man, but I've got a shot. I'll be 43 years old in the year 2000. I remember sitting at my desk at work on my 43rd birthday. And all of a sudden it hit me. Ah, this is the age I was looking towards as a young boy. And I got emotional, like, it got here a lot quicker than I thought. And here, we're on the threshold of 2025. If I thought I was an old man in 2000, we are a quarter of a century past that date, right? And the question is, how do we enter into 2025? Well, to live life well as God desires for us. And I'm going to guess that for most of us, we would say making New Year's resolutions isn't going to hack it. So let's pray, come to God's Word, and see if He doesn't have a better option for us. Father God, we just come to You right now. You have blessed us with Your Word. You have laid out and shown who You are throughout Your Word. And so this morning we come to it and ask that Your Holy Spirit would help us to understand that, to be transformed by that. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the summer of 2023, I was praying and just reflecting on my life and realizing how God had had His hand in all of it. Like, I'm not smart enough to really choose right things at all. And yet as I look back, God had been using my good choices, my bad choices, to move me and direct me and guide me where He wanted me to be. And I was just blown away by that. And in that, as I sat there listening and thanking God, the phrase, "Teach us to number our days," came to mind. And I couldn't let go of it. It's like, God, are You saying something? Like, soon? But I went home and I thought, I know that's in the Bible, but I don't know where. So I looked it up and I found it in the middle of Psalm 90. Psalm 90 says, 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days carefully, so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. That verse shouted to me. It got my attention, and I think maybe because as I have gotten older, I realize, like, the clock's ticking. My days are limited. And there's this sense of urgency not to waste whatever time I have left. It had such an impact on me that I wrote it on my wall just above my desk because I wanted to see it every day and be reminded of it. So when I was asked to preach this morning, and they said, whatever you want. We're in this lull, right? We've finished Christmas. We're not into the next new year and next series, so here we are in this lull, and they go, whatever you want. And I thought, I think I know where. This verse has been on my heart for a while. And I thought, as we look to 2025, I know where. But as I did, I thought, but I can't just pull this verse out and go, let's look at this. We need to look at the context in which it's said. And I came to Psalm 90, and it's not exactly what I thought I was going to preach. So if you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 90, because we need the full context. And I have grown to love Psalm 90. And you're going to find it is not an easy psalm. I'm going to use the Christian Standard Bible today, only because that is where I first started reading this verse and really letting it take hold of me. And so I thought, I'm just going to stay there. I like the translation. We're just going to stay there. So if your version is different, that's great. If you use an ESV, You'll see differences, and that's a good thing. Psalm 90, we read the last one. Psalm 90 was the very first psalm written. It was written by Moses. And I've had people, when I say that, go, well, why isn't it Psalm 1? Different day, different lesson. Just to say that they grouped them in books and they didn't go chronologically. But Moses, the reason I love it, he is passionate and he passionately lays out an accurate picture of God. Not only of God, but who we are and the hope that God offers us. So let's read these first two verses where Moses declares who God is. Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. Moses tells us that God is God. God has always been God. From eternity past to eternity future, he has no beginning, he has no end. Everything we see, everything created is his. He has created it, including you and me. And here's the interesting thing. He is the place that we find our refuge. Maybe your version says our dwelling place. That comfortable, safe place. Such a beautiful picture of God. And it would be very easy to go, so let's walk in that truth in 2025. Amen. You're dismissed. And there is a part of me, because that is so true. But Moses doesn't stop there. He continues to go on to describe God. And if I'm honest, there was a part of me who wanted to start in 12, and let's just move from there. But I told God, I will preach whatever you put on my heart, and he said, preach that. So here we go, because we need to understand this if we're going to understand the gospel. Moses goes on to say, "You return mankind to the dust, saying, 'Return, descendants of Adam.' For in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday that passed by, like a few hours in the night. You end their lives. They sleep. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning it sprouts and grows. By evening it withers and dries up. For we are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days ebb away under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh. Our lives last 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you." Moses is saying some things that we have to understand. He says, God is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, and us, our life is short. It is brief. It's like the grass that grows up in the morning, and by evening it's withered and died. As James said, it's like a mist, a vapor. It's here for a little bit. It's gone. We need to understand God is holy and just, and we are sinful. Moses says that we are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. Who understands the power of your anger? Do these words make you uncomfortable? They do me. Do you think of God this way? I hear people a lot say, "That's not my God. My God is loving, merciful, patient, accepts anything I do. That's my God. This is not my God." Can I tell you, we don't get to make God? We start at the beginning. God is God. He has created all things. He is in charge. And this is who he is. And we have to understand that if we're going to understand the good news of the gospel. Now you know why I said, preach this, God? Yes, preach this. Because we have to understand it. I don't know where you're at this morning. I see some new faces, some visiting. I know many are out and about and traveling. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling the weight of God's anger. A number of years ago, my sister invited a coworker to come to church with her, and he did. They sat in the back, and as the last word was spoken from the sermon, before we sang, stood up, anything, he got up and literally bolted, which is a little awkward when you're going to go to see that coworker the next day, right? I think those are the fears that keep us from inviting. We don't want to find ourselves in that awkward place. She goes to work and she said, "Are you okay? You seem to leave church really quickly." He says, "You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. I walked into that church. I felt like this is a holy place. I don't belong here. I couldn't stay. How could a God ever love me? This morning, maybe you're here. Maybe you've come a lot, but this is inside of you, and you're wondering, how could God ever love me? And you come to a passage like that, and you say, see that? How could God love me? Because that's who I am. Can I ask you to keep listening? Because there is good news. Maybe you're on the other side. Maybe you've grown up in the church. Maybe you followed Jesus for a long time. And you've just gotten numb to this. You've kind of gone, oh, sure, God's like that, but I'm okay. I got Jesus. I'm okay. Can we look at what else Moses said? You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Can you imagine standing in the presence of God? Isaiah, when he was there, he says, I'm undone. I'm losing it in your presence. You are so holy. Imagine being in front of the holy God, and he says, let's pull out your sin, shall we? And even if you think, I'm pretty good, you look around at others, you're like, okay, really? I'm not that bad. Imagine if I called you up this morning and said, we've got a surprise for you. Come on up, have a seat. This week, you didn't know it, but we placed cameras in your car, in your home, at work, everywhere you went, and we've recorded everything you've done this week. We've taken the highlights and the lowlights and put them into a video, and we're going to show it. Okay, yes, see, that's what I'm talking about. Your mind would be like, what was this week like? What? Oh, hang on, what? Oh no, this is not a good week. And that's just the outward things that you've done and said. Moses says, God, you take our secret sin, the stuff we think nobody knows about. Maybe it's the stuff that goes on in your head. Maybe it's attitude, it's heart issues, and you pull those out and put them in the light of your presence. You see, I don't care where you're at this morning. Moses says, for all of us, we need to understand who God is and what we deserve. Do you hear this tension, this paradox in Moses' prayer so far? First of all, he says, God, you are God and you are our refuge, our dwelling place, our safe place. Amen. And our lives are short, filled with struggle and sorrow because of your anger, because of our sin. That, how do you, those go together? But that's a paradox. It's true on both hands, and we're going to unpack. Moses knows, he knew the reality of all that we are and who God is. And as we go on, we're going to see that he had faith that God, this just, holy God, could redeem and restore. We just finished celebrating Christmas. Here at Meadows, we had the theme of the best news ever. What would we say the best news ever is? The gospel, right? We say that, but can I ask you, what is the gospel? I met a couple visiting today, and she grew up in this church. I grew up in this church. Some of you grew up in this church. So we've heard the gospel over and over, and many of you have gone other places. You were raised in the church, and you've heard the gospel over and over. And here is what I've realized. We have to beware of not boiling it down to this simple statement, because I think we do often. Accept Jesus as your Savior, you will be saved, and someday, when you die, you will go to heaven. Is that the gospel? I agree with that. I think it has elements of the gospel, but I think if we stop there, here's what happens. I think we miss all that God is offering us in this life as well. It'd be like you give your kids a Christmas gift this year, and it says, you're going to go to Disney World. You're going to stay in all the best hotels right there in Disney World. You're going to go to every theme park. You're going to do everything they have to do. Eat at the finest restaurants. We're going to get the fast pack, whatever the latest, greatest, most expensive way to get cut in line, right? You're going to do all of that. And they're like, and then at the end, the note says, in 60 years. And as a parent, you say, aren't you excited? Isn't that fantastic news? And they might go, sort of. And maybe day after day you wake up and you go, are you thrilled? You're going to go to Disney World. And they might eventually just go, okay, listen. Sure, that's great, but right now I'm just trying to get my homework done. I'm just trying to graduate. I'm just trying to figure out life. I'm just trying to find a spouse. I'm hoping to have kids, and that'll be great someday. But right now, I'm just trying to deal with life. I think that's what we do with the gospel when we boil it down to accept Jesus as your Savior. You will be saved, and someday you'll go to heaven. And you go, oh, great. I got that covered. But I'm just trying to deal with life. We often use that word saved when we talk about the gospel. Are you saved? I'm saved. The question is, saved from what? I think Moses lays out saved from what? This is who God is. This is what we deserve. Our life's short. But the word saved in Greek is an interesting word. The word is soto. Soto. Sozo. Here's what it means. To save. To rescue. Or to heal. Here's how I want you to think of this. Remember the woman who had a blood disorder for 12 years, right? Realize a blood disorder keeps you separated from people. You are unclean as a Jew. You can't associate with people. You have been separated. You also cannot go to the temple because you are unclean. You have been separated. She hears about Jesus of Nazareth and says, if I could just touch his robe, I believe I could be healed. She makes her way through a crowd. She shouldn't. She reaches and touches his robe, and Jesus knows it. He says, who touched me? He turns around, and she is petrified. Listen to what he says. Have courage, daughter. Your faith has sozo you. Now, I don't know what your translation says this morning. Some say your faith has healed you. Some say your faith has saved you. Isn't that interesting? Because sometimes we think of saving as just like snatching, and it's so much more. When the angel came to Joseph, and he says, you are to name this child Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Sozo. Save. Rescue. Heal. That's what we need. That's what we need. Not just to be taken from the fire, but to be given life, his life. It happened through his sacrificial death. It happened through his resurrection, where he took our sin, this, what we deserve from Psalm 90, and he says, I will take it. But it isn't just this transaction. He says, and I will make you new, healed by my righteousness. You're not only out from under the wrath of God, you are a son, a child of the King, of God. You sit in that place now. You are healed. And it's not someday. It's today. I think that changes the gospel when we don't make it someday. It becomes the best news ever, right? So with this in mind, let's go back to Psalm 90, and we're going to see how Moses pivots on verse 12. He says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, for as many years as we have seen adversity. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be on us. Establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Here in verse 12, Moses makes this shift from declaring who God is and who we are to asking God to do a work. He says, teach us. Teach us to have a sense of urgency to live each day with the wisdom, because life is short. Notice two words. First two words. Teach us. Do you know what a disciple is? I've got a new word that I started using. I really like. Somebody shared it with me. The word is apprentice. I like that word. That's what we are called to do. Be apprentices under Jesus, right? But in its definition, core definition, disciple is a learner. Not by head, but by doing. That's what disciples did. And here, that first word caught my attention, teach. We have to be disciples that learn. This is not natural. We have to learn to number our days. We don't want to. We just go, oh, yeah. It's like going to the dentist. I know I should someday. I'm not going to go. No, it's not natural. And so we ask God, teach us to number our days. Second word, it's not teach me. I started out wanting to say, God, teach me. It's not me. It is me. But it's me with you. It's us. You find that throughout the Jewish culture and the scriptures that we think in personal, like just, I just need to, I want to do this, I want to grow spiritually, I want to be the, and God keeps going, hang on, us. That's harder. That's way harder. And yet that's what we're supposed to ask God. Teach us to number our days wisely, or carefully, so that we might have wisdom. When Jesus was about to go in John, he says, I'm going, but it's a good thing, because I will send a helper who will teach you. We have the Holy Spirit. God, teach us. He goes on to ask, look at these words, satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so that we may shout with joy and be glad all of our days. That's not someday, that's now. And can I tell you, life is filled with struggle and sorrow. That is true. But God offers joy, and we talked about that. It's not based on circumstances. And we're saying, God, satisfy us in the morning so that we may have joy and be glad. Then he asked God to let us see his work. How many times have you heard somebody go, and then God showed up? And you're like, oh, God, I want to see that. God, I want to see that. Our men's discipleship groups have been going through the book of Acts. You want to see the Holy Spirit show up. And we keep going, is he still do that? Because I want to see that, right? Moses says, God, let us see your work. Follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. Come on, you want to see my work? Follow me. Not only do I want to see your work, not just for me, but let our children see your splendor. How do we raise children? The ones, we're way down today, but we have a group of children in this place. Let us see your hand. Let us, not only for us, let our children see your splendor, because we are doing that, living that through the freedom that you've given us in Jesus Christ for today. Throughout eternity. Eternity has already started. Think of that. Eternity isn't someday. It's started. We're in eternity now. Through the days we have on earth, on. So what steps do we need to take in order to enter into 2025 and live it in the way God desires? Let me just say, if you're feeling the weight of God's anger, there's purpose in that. I know a number of people that had cancer, they didn't know it. Until something got bad enough, they finally went to the doctor and found out. And you'd say, oh, if their pain revealed something that was hidden. If you're feeling the wrath of God this morning, there's a reason for that. And God's saying, I brought you here this morning for purpose. Would you come? I'll be up over here in front of the cross after the service. Like, if you want to just have conversation, come. It would be a beautiful thing to enter into 2025 in the place where Moses talks about this relationship with God. Secondly, are you willing to let God teach you individually so that he can teach us corporately? There's anybody here heard of Quitter's Day? I just heard of Quitter's Day. It was on a commercial, I think. I looked it up. Quitter's Day, second Friday in January. Why do they call it Quitter's Day? It's the day statistically most people have given up on their New Year's resolutions. Anybody ever been there? Yep. So much so that usually we're like, I'm not doing that anymore. We forget so quickly. We change so quickly. And here's how I think we can enter into 2025. You'll notice that it doesn't say, teach us to number our years carefully. I think that's where we go with resolutions. And by quitter's day, we're like, I'm done. Maybe next year. I'll try again next year. And we kind of throw in the towel and just, we know who we are. I love the fact that Moses said, God, teach us to number our days. In this day, Father, help me to have a sense of urgency to follow you no matter what. In this day. You fall and you struggle and you're like, okay, don't throw in the towel. We're not done for 2025. There's a tomorrow coming. God, in this day, every morning, I ask that I would have all of you in the morning, every day, day by day, so that I might experience this joy today, this day. Days go quick, don't they? We're not waiting for 2026 all of a sudden. We're waiting for tomorrow. I know, Father. Here's the interesting thing. Have you ever gotten to the end of a year and look back and you're like, oh my goodness, look at all that's changed. Because days are short steps. Pastor Michael always says, what's your next best step? How do you follow Christ today, this day? I know, I've got all kinds of stuff I need to change. What's he calling you to this day? Help us to number our days carefully so that we know how to live in this day. Don't worry about tomorrow yet. Jesus said it's got enough of its own issues, okay? In this day. How do you remember that? Well, let me just share what I've done. Like I said, when God put this verse on my heart, I went and I looked it up and I wrote it above my desk because I sit there and I'm in that room every day. I don't want to forget it. I recently bought a big hourglass. It's in my study as well. I don't want to forget. I don't know what it'll be for you. But as we enter into 2025, I would just encourage you, is there something that you can do that will remind you? God, help us to number our days carefully so that we might develop wisdom in our hearts. Christmas Eve, Pastor Michael, he challenged us. He has for a few weeks now. If this is the best news ever, what do you do with it? Are we out there looking? Do we trust God that in 2025 we might be people that can't keep from sharing the best news ever? I think we have to have that mindset of what has Christ done for us. What we deserve, how he has saved and healed us, and we can't keep that in. But does that scare you? Does it overwhelm you? Does it seem daunting? You're like, yeah, somebody should do that. And you're looking around. Do changes that might happen in our church scare you? And you're like, I kind of like the way it is. All of that's true for me. And yet, we come to God and we say, okay, God, teach us. Teach us this day. How do we follow you together as a body of Christ? I think if we're willing to do that, we will get to the other end. Who knows what's going to happen in 2025, right? We were talking yesterday with some people like, we've lived through some crazy stuff, right? Who knows what's coming? But God does. How do we live each day? If we get to the end of 2025 and live in this way, I believe we will have seen the hand of God at work in our lives, in our church. And I believe that we will, our kids, the next generations, will see the splendor of God and want to follow. Let's go. Father, we don't know how many days we have left. For some who are younger, that it seems like they have got massive amounts of days left, and yet they go quickly. And there's no guarantee. For those of us that are older, Father, and we hear the clock ticking, Father, do not give us fear. Give us a sense of urgency to live life as you have called us to be on mission with you, to be about your kingdom work for all the days that you give us. And I ask this. I ask that, Jesus, you would do this in us through your Spirit, because I know while we might want to, we cannot on our own. Teach us to number our days carefully. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.